Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here today. My name is Stephen Combs. I'm the pastor of worship and youth here. And if you're a first-time guest with us this morning, we're just so happy that you joined us today. I'm going to be preaching to us this morning. Usually we have Pastor Gary here, and this is my, I tell everyone that I'm good for one sermon a year. Usually the worship thing is what I'm doing, and it takes a lot out of me to prepare for these things. And what I wanted to do to start out with this morning, though, is because today we are going back to two services, I wanted to take a selfie with you guys. Hashtag Selfie Sunday, starting that new here this week. So smile, nice and pretty. You're going to be seen on the internet or later on today. Let me see if I can angle this to kind of capture. Did you notice, can you see on my camera, there's like this space right here. I don't know what the people over here did, but you formed like a wave, it looks like. But anyway. So, capture all that. Let me see if I can get... There we go. There we go. All right, one, two, three. That's the most goober face ever, but yeah. Glad to have you here with us today. I'm excited about today's sermon. This is one that has blown my mind this week, one that has got me really pumped up. So, let's get started. Back in 2008, I went to the doctor for a regular physical, and I had not had one since high school, and I was thinking, you know, it's really not going to be much to this. I don't expect to hear too much from the doctor. I feel like I'm doing pretty well. I'm not overweight. I'm not smoking or drinking or anything like that. So I wasn't expecting too much. And sure enough, go through the physical. Doctor's not really seeing anything. Everything looking pretty good. So then we wait for the blood work. And so when the blood work gets to him, he comes back to me and goes, this is not good. And I was like, well, what's not good? He said, well, you've got high cholesterol. It's like, man, okay, well, what does that even mean? He said, well, if you have high cholesterol, you can develop a condition called atherosclerosis. Now, I want you just pause here for a second. It took me like 20 times this week practicing this word to figure out how to say this thing for you. So let's try to say that together. Atherosclerosis. Yes, yes, yes. I got to say it several more times today's sermon. I probably won't get it right on one of those, so just bear, give me some grace. But anyway, he says you have this. You could develop a condition called atherosclerosis, where basically the high cholesterol in your system causes you to build up plaque in your arteries, and then eventually it builds up and builds up to the point where blood can't flow properly through your veins, and it could lead to heart attack or stroke. So in fact, looking at WebMD this week, looking up the word atherosclerosis, it's a disease in which plaque builds up inside your arteries. It's the usual cause of heart attacks, strokes, and peripheral vascular disease, what together are called cardiovascular disease. Cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in America, with more than 800,000 deaths in 2005. So this news came as a shock to me. Coming into the doctor, obviously thinking nothing's wrong, based on the outside in, everything appears okay. But it was what was happening on the inside that I wasn't aware of, I was slowly dying. So today I argue that without Christ, we are all at risk of dying of atherosclerosis of the spiritual heart, because we are so stopped up with worldly things and life is unable to flow through our veins. So one of these things today, every time I say the word flow, I'm going to go flow, all right? So turn to someone right now and say, you need to flow. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was looking for those hands, see if y'all are going to take me seriously. You need to flow. But here's the good news. God has given us the solution to this slow death. And that solution is carried by today's mark, which is kindness. So we're continuing the 9-mark series this morning, where we've been examining the fruit of the Spirit, which is seen in our series theme verse, which is Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So in reading this scripture, this is one that I've been hearing since I was a little boy. Every time I've ever read this passage, I got to admit, kindness has always kind of been one that I just kind of just brushed over. I would hear it, love, joy, peace, patience, and those were all be like, yeah, 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 I need that. Oh, that's good. And then I kind of muddied the waters between kindness and goodness, and it just seemed like, well, goodness. I'll just go towards that one. Like, I don't really know what's so great about kindness. Well, after my research this week, I got to tell you guys that I'm stoked about this word kindness. I'm stoked about the fruit of the spirit of kindness, and I'm hoping that as you're leaving today, that you'll be stoked as well. So kind, looking up that word, it means of a good or a benevolent, which means well-meaning, nature or disposition, indulgent, which means generous, considerate or helpful, mild, gentle, merciful. In the Greek, it's translated as krestos, which the synonyms for that are good, pleasant, gracious, willing to help, considerate of others, humane, forbearing, benevolent, charitable, sympathetic, soft-hearted, warm-hearted, merciful. The antonyms of this word, which, if you know, antonym means the opposites, are cruel, harsh, hard, merciless, rough. My goal today is to prove to you that without the kindness of God, there is no vessel to receive the grace, mercy, giving, love, joy, peace, patience that God has for us. We can experience this kindness and the flow that comes from it today. Turn to someone near you and say, I want the flow. How can we experience this life-giving flow? By putting away, putting in, and putting out the things that we see in today's text. So before we read this together, something that I always like to do, and I do this with our youth group each week, is take advantage of the opportunity to do a quick Bible drill when we're getting ready to open up the Scripture. So if you do have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be preparing ourselves right now. Just kind of get your hands ready to turn to the passage. And I usually do have it marked, but I don't have it marked this time. So see if you can beat me to it. If you have a smartphone, that's cheating. If you're already looking at the Scripture in the bulletin, you're also cheating. This is people who brought, you know, good old paper Bible. Hold that thing up if you got it with you. Oh, yes. I'm glad to see people still bring these things. It's good. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Go. See if you can beat me. Somebody already got it? Wow, that was epic. Do you have one of those kind that, like, you mark it, like, it's got the little thing? Yeah, she does. Well, I did get there right as you said got it, but you technically said it before I saw the verse. So, Evelyn beat me. We're going to be reading that together, verse 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. May God bless the reading of His Word. Amen?
Amen.
So, today we're going to be looking at three steps on how to experience the flow of kindness. Sorry, the flow of kindness. Step one. Put away cruelty. Put away cruelty. It says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Now this word clamor, looking that up, I was reading that this week. It's like, what does that even mean? Well, clamor means loud and violent noise. It's that person that when you get in an argument, they keep getting louder and louder and louder till you can't hear anything over me. I'm yelling at you so that way you can't talk over me right now. You try to talk over me, but I'm going to keep yelling. You can't argue with me. Anybody know anybody like that? That does that? I hope that's not you. That's clamor, my friend. That's clamor. I know some people like that. And it is, you don't want to get in an argument with them. They scare you to death. And the next thing is slander, which means to speak falsely about someone. Let those things be put away with you, along with all malice. And that means the desire to do evil. So remember the antonyms of kindness that I mentioned earlier? Cruel, hard, harsh, merciless, rough. I think they line up well with what Paul was saying here in verse 31. So why should we put these things away? Well, in Proverbs 11 it says, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. Psalm 109, for he did not remember to show kindness, but pursued the poor and needy and the brokenhearted to put them to death. He loved the curse, let curses come upon him. He did not delight in blessing, may it be far from him. He clothed himself with cursing as his coat. May it soak into his body like water, like oil into his bones. Proverbs 22, those who plant injustice will harvest disaster, and their reign of terror will come to an end. So how does cruelty and harshness and lack of mercy and roughness and anger and slander and malice hurt us? Well, I have an illustration this morning, hopefully, that will depict some of what this can mean. So I was talking earlier about atherosclerosis. And you see here at the top, this is a healthy artery. And then below it, buildup begins. And so you see that happening right there in the middle. Next, plaque forms. And so you see that buildup is getting even worse, to the point where plaque then ruptures blood clot forms. So right here, it's actually blocked. You can see these blood cells trying to get through. It's blocked them getting through, and a blood clot forms. And eventually that clot either causes us to have a heart attack, or it causes us to have stroke. So why are we talking so much about atherosclerosis this morning? Well, because each act of cruelty in our life is like the buildup of cholesterol in your veins. It stacks and it stacks and it stacks until one day a clot forms that prevents real life from flowing through you, resulting in a darkness and a death in you. And my observation, interestingly enough, is that people who do not truly possess the fruit of kindness, they have the ability to be kind for a season. It's simply as an extension of the kindness that God has bestowed upon them, regardless of how sinful they are. They have the ability to be kind for a season. However, they almost always have a dark side to them that has the ability to inflict incredible cruelty, almost as if they were two different people. So I have an illustration that I'm hoping will help us understand this a little bit better this morning. And so first here, I'm going to be filling up a cup that says the word Christ on it. So here in the front, it says Christ here. I apologize for those in the back that may not be able to see that, but that does say Christ. And this next cup says the word you. This represents us. And then these last two cups represent others. All right. One. And final one here. Y'all were wondering what was in the box. Got a science experiment for you today. So, we have Christ, you, and others. Now, the final thing I need to bring out is this bottle, which represents sin. Now, since the fall of Adam and Eve, when they sinned, it sent mankind into a downward spiral, and that all of us are born sinful now. We're born dark and lifeless. That's us. That's everyone. And so those of you in the back, this is what this looks like. We're born dead in our sin. We're born cruel, full of anger, full of malice. And so in this condition, we can try to seek life in this world. We can try to seek worldly things that will make us feel better, make us not look so dark, feel so dark. But all it does is makes us even darker. So then we say, all right, well, maybe this karma thing's true. Maybe if I'm good to others, it will make me better. But all that does is continue to spread darkness. And here I am, still dark. The truth is, if we don't put away cruelty, we remain the very thing that we're actually giving away, which is dark and lifeless. We are all dead in our sin without Christ. So that's why the very first thing we have to do is put away cruelty. And after doing that, we take the next step to flow. And that step is to put in forgiveness. Number two, put in forgiveness. It says in verse 32, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So in Romans 2:4, it says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? So this word presume here, it means to think lightly of, or maybe assume that you deserve it. So as we face this image of destruction in our lives, how do we respond to this? Can we do anything about this on our own? Well, we've tried. We've tried seeking life in this world. We've tried pouring out on others, and yet we find ourselves still dark and dead. Do we presume on the riches of God's kindness and say, I deserve it. I'm entitled to it. It's a payment to me for what I've done well. Or do we approach the throne of God humbly and plead for His grace? It says in Ephesians chapter 2, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Jesus Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Now this passage gets me really excited. It always has. I love how Paul phrased this, but there's something that I'm seeing this week, guys. I am so excited to tell you guys this morning. This is something that I've never noticed before. Remember how earlier I said that without kindness, there's no vessel for which God to show us and demonstrate His grace and love? Well, it says it right here. In the coming ages, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. God loves us. How can we know? If I love someone, that's something I'm feeling on the inside. If I'm joyful, that's something I'm feeling on the inside. If I'm peaceful, if I'm patient, how do we show somebody that we have grace for them? How do we show somebody that we have mercy for them? The vessel is kindness. And the greatest kindness of all is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and has offered to us now through His kindness. He's offered grace, mercy, giving, love, life, peace. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, for our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. In Titus chapter 3 it says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Without the greatest kindness ever expressed in the universe, the cross of Christ, we would have remained dead in our sins. And this kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. So do we now face the kindness of Christ, the cross of Christ? Do we now face that with a sense of entitlement, presuming upon it, nulling the meaning of Christ's kindness and considering it as mere payment for something that we were owed? Have you come to the point where you know that you were utterly hopeless without the grace of God? So this forgiveness thing, the putting in forgiveness, is a two-part thing. First, in the putting in, receive God's forgiveness. Receive that forgiveness that Jesus Christ has offered from you. But that's still only half of what it's telling us. You see, it said back in 32, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. So in putting in forgiveness, we must also forgive others. Those of you who know me and my family know that my wife Caroline and I are big movie buffs. We have a lot of movies. It's something that we enjoy doing as just part of our downtime. I would argue that we probably watch 4 to 5 movies a week. It just kind of is one of those things. At nighttime, Caroline, she just says, "You want to put a movie on?" "Sure, we'll put one on." May or may not be like glued to it. We might be doing other things, but a movie is being shown at the Combs house most nights of the week. Now, with that come traditions. There's a stack of movies on my shelf that everyone in the house knows not to touch because these are Christmas movies. And those Christmas movies are only allowed to be shown on the day after Thanksgiving all the way until New Year's Day. Cannot be shown before that or after that. My daughter tries to test us in this. In fact, just yesterday was asking if she could watch a Christmas movie. And Caroline insisted, "No, this is not how we do things." One of our favorite Christmas movies is Christmas Carol. Now, in the Christmas Carol that we like the most is actually, believe it or not, the most recent one that was made, and that's the one that has Jim Carrey acting as Scrooge in it. And so it's kind of like a mixture of cartoon / real life. And so that's been our favorite one. Now, I know that's going to aggravate some of our classics in the room that really like the classic Christmas Carol done way back when. But that's our favorite one. And I had somebody after first service say, "My favorite one is the Mickey's Christmas Carol." And, I grew up watching that too. I like that one. That's my daughter's favorite one. But my personal favorite is the one with Jim Carrey as Scrooge. And the reason is I really like the way that he depicts it. They actually do say every line of that play, and it's actually really scary. I think the ghosts were meant to be scary, and so that some of it is really scary. I could go on all day about that. Who here agrees with me that's the best one? They think the newest one's the best one, all right? Handful of people. Who likes the old one better? That's their favorite one, all right? We're actually kind of split halfway. The rest of y'all, I don't know what's wrong with you. Your hands aren't working. So one of the things about this movie that impresses me is Scrooge's nephew, Fred. Now, Fred comes to him in the beginning of the movie, and he's asking his uncle, will you join us for dinner on Christmas? Now, mind you, Scrooge has had nothing to do with Fred his entire life. He's done everything but shunned him. Yet Fred comes to him every year around Christmas time, and he says, "Will you come and eat dinner with my family and I on Christmas Day?" And Scrooge does his usual mocking of him and mocking of Christmas and refuses. And Fred somehow doesn't let this faze him, and he still continues to invite him until we see what happens on this clip we're going to show you guys here.
Master at home?
Yes, sir.
I'm his uncle.
Bless my soul.
I've come to dinner if you'll have me.
Oh, of course, Uncle. Welcome, welcome. Merry Christmas. This is my uncle.
So I broke my own rule this morning. I realized this. I just showed a Christmas movie. And I know some of y'all in the audience were like, oh, I can't watch that right now. It's June. It's not even July. It's not even Christmas in July. You're showing Christmas movies. I told this to my, I showed this clip to my dad this week and was like, what do you think of that? He said, it's a Christmas movie. So I know. He said, it's June. Yeah, I know. It's going to be crazy. We're going to show Christmas in June. It just worked too well with this point. I apologize to those purists out there that will not watch Christmas movies along with myself during the month of June. So what we see here is that Scrooge has finally come to his senses. He's come to his nephew Fred. He's come to dinner. And when he comes in there, he's lowering himself and offering himself, essentially coming there asking forgiveness for what he's done. And what does Fred do? Well, he pauses for a second, and then he leads the way in forgiving his Uncle Scrooge and inviting him to dinner and having him be part of this meal. Maybe there's somebody in your life that has wronged you, and they don't deserve your forgiveness. And maybe the hurt that they've inflicted on you is so great that it gives you now a false empowerment. You feel like you're greater than them because they've hurt you so bad and because you're holding this against them now. Whether or not they ask for forgiveness, we have the choice to forgive them because we've been forgiven, as we've seen here. Christ forgave us while we were still sinners. In Romans 5:8 it says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Not once we got our life together. No. While we were still sinners, he died for us. Christ forgave us while we were still his enemies. In Romans 5:10, "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" He died for us while we were still his enemies, not once we had come to our senses. So let Christ be the example to us. If he's willing to forgive us and to trust us to be the bride of Christ. Now, pause button here. This is something I really began chewing on this week. Is that not only has Christ forgiven us for being sinful, for being his enemies. Not only has he forgiven us, which would be fantastic. That would be all I would want. Would be forgiven of my sin. He has gone further than that to a point that I can't understand. And that's that he trusts us with the name of the bride of Christ. Think about someone who's hurt you terribly in your life. Not only would it be difficult to forgive them, but how would you trust them again? And would you be willing to trust them with something precious to you, such as something that would defame your very name if they lived with it wrong? That's what Christ has done for our sake. He's forgiven us. Now he trusts us by allowing us to call ourselves his bride, allowing us to call ourselves his church. If we choose not to forgive, then bitterness will begin to build up inside of us once more, along with anger, malice, slander, all those same things that we were dealing with before we put away cruelty. So there is this churning effect that happens in us in that we still sin. People still hurt us. But Christ has forgiven us, and we should be continually forgiving others. So we've said two things. Put away cruelty. Put in forgiveness. And I believe that the best way to proactively put in forgiveness is to do the third and final step towards flowing, which is to put out kindness. Number three, put out kindness. Verse 32, this is for those biblical scholars out there that are trying to understand Scripture. Be kind to one another. Really look into that hard. See if you can find another meaning there. He was pretty straightforward. Be kind to one another. Proverbs 21, it says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor." Colossians 3, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. So, when should we stop showing kindness? Never. Who should we show kindness to? Everyone. What if we run out? Can we run out? Well, in 2 Timothy, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Now, once again, another passage here, very familiar to me. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race. I've heard the passage that says, I am being poured out as a drink offering. Did not realize until studying this week, they're right next to each other. He says, I am being poured out, and then he follows that immediately with, I fought the good fight. And then even better, he says, for there is a crown in heaven, an award in heaven awaiting me. So, pour out yourselves onto others. Pour out kindness, and it's considered as the good fight, and you will be awarded in heaven. So Christ uses us to be messengers of his grace. And when others hear the truth and accept his gospel, they too can experience the life in Christ. Even if we are poured all the way out, as we see here, we have a crown of righteousness waiting for us. But I'll argue that as we pour ourselves out, and right when we think we've run out, Christ enters in and he fills us up. Now in Psalm 23 it says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." My cup overflows where at? At a table with my enemies. That's the place that we, when we're most challenged, when it seems the darkest place, when we choose to show kindness despite how awful our enemies are, that is when, what? My cup overflows. In John 4, it says, "Whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And we know that Jesus Christ is the water of life. He's a river that never runs dry. And so Jesus Christ, as he's pouring into us, and as we're pouring out on others, we will never run out. I'm going to make a big mess. Yes, sir. All right. And Christ never runs out. He continues to fill us. This is second service. I filled these things to the brim. I apologize. My man, Sonny's going to be in charge of cleaning this up later on. So thank you, Sonny. What have we to lose? We're connected to a well that never runs dry. We've been forgiven. We've been made free. The more that we pour ourselves out, the more that Christ fills us up, and the more life we experience. Now, there's a game that maybe some of you guys have played yourselves. It's called Would You Rather. I like to play it in the car and whenever I'm bored. It's one that even our youth group used to play, like, you know, be part of our meeting years ago, and we would just kind of go around, like, all right, give me some good Would You Rather questions. But essentially, the gist of the game is you have two questions. Would you rather do this or rather do that? And they're usually pretty funny, and you have to make a choice. I have a would you rather for us this morning. Would you rather have this one cup to work with for the entirety of your life, always paranoid that you're going to run out, always holding tightly to what you've got, just like Scrooge, resulting in an angry, ornery, stinky, stingy, smelly, stale life? Or Would you rather pour out your life into others, continually doing that, even until it seems that your cup has run dry, only to be refilled and refilled over and over and over again by Christ? I argue that you would experience more life if you poured out this one into others and allow Christ to fill you. You will have more life will flow through you than you would have experienced if you hung on to it like a stingy person. So to experience the final step of a healthy flow, we must put out kindness. So now we have a life that has put away cruelty. We've put in forgiveness, and we're putting out kindness. We are feeling the flow of life through our veins because Christ has given us a new heart. Going back to the earlier illustration, atherosclerosis. We are in this dilemma where without God's help, there's no working our way to fix it. There's no doing anything to fix this problem. We have atherosclerosis of the spiritual heart. What do you do about that? Well, Ezekiel 36 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Only in Jesus Christ can we have a new heart, and we desperately need one. We're not looking good. Only in Jesus Christ can we experience life. So if you're not flowing today, if you're looking at yourself and you're saying, "Man, this is not me. Have you taken the step of putting away cruelty? Or are you still full of anger and rage and bitterness and malice and slander? Have you taken step two and you've put in forgiveness? Or are you pridefully still doing things your way? Or you're harboring bitterness towards others? Have you taken step three and you're putting out kindness? Or are you stingily hanging on to every single drop that God has given you? And finally, have you asked Christ to give you a new heart? Or are you still fighting for life and coming up empty, trying to do things your way? Let's pray. Lord, I know that there are some out here this morning that may have not asked you ever to come and forgive them, to give them a new heart. And if that's you this morning, know that Jesus Christ offers you for free the grace and the mercy and the life that he died for so that way you could receive it. And if you would like to receive that this morning to experience this flow for the first time, I invite you to pray with me. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I repent. I turn away from who I am. I give you every area of my life. I need you to forgive me. I need you to give me life. Would you become Lord? Would you take over and make me the kind of person you want me to be? And if you prayed that prayer just now, Jesus has made it as simple as that for you. That if you would, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come into him." He's come into you just now if you received him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, "I've received Christ, but I'm kind of still looking a little bit like that dark cup there. I need to put away this cruelty in me." Maybe you've accepted Christ's forgiveness, but you're not really forgiving others and you're still also looking pretty dark. Or maybe you've experienced those two things and are experiencing, but you're being stingy. You're holding it all to yourself, not giving it up to anyone else. Pray with me. God, forgive me for this. I pray that you will help me to flow. I pray that you will help me in these three areas, God. Or that I would find life and flow with life because of what you've done for me. Make me an example. Lord, trust me as your bride to represent your church. In Jesus' name, amen.